awesome. That's great. Well, guys, we're not done. We have tonight, and I'm real excited. Pastor Talia, if you want to go ahead and come on up. And thank you, Pastor Talia, for... I was just telling them that you wrote this curriculum from 1, 2, 3. This is... God led you to lead, you know, to write this, and I just want them to know that this is incredible content. You know, based on what she was saying over here, thanks for taking us deeper, you know, and so thank you for that, you know, and
like 400 scriptures to memorize.
Yeah.
I think before we move on, Rachel, I saw your hand go up. What were you going to say about the grow tracks? No. It's amazing when we fast and pray what begins to happen. You'll hear some Christians say, well, it just feels like when I fast and pray, things get worse. No, actually, stuff that's been under the rug for a long time, the Lord's going to bring all the cards on the table. And he's going to really help us deal with this stuff so that we can be free, so we can walk in wholeness and newness of life, and so all of those around us can do the same. So sometimes it may feel like it's getting worse, but it's really not. The stuff is already there. You're just finally dealing with it. So just as we thank you guys. That just is awesome. I wish I could have heard it all. I was observing a little bit over in Timber Creek students and excited about tonight. I have a question for you guys. Every night we teach, and you guys have been so phenomenal at like interacting and asking questions and sharing your thoughts. I've loved it. Is so hard to know that this is our last night all together. We've been together a year. Can you believe it? Over a year? Is it over a year? A year and a half, you know? So it's like we're this little tight-knit little kind of community here. And we have never had a moment where we have just let you guys ask us some questions. And I don't want just random questions. More, if we could streamline them a little bit more towards what are you feeling and thinking in your last night of Timber Creek's Grow Track? What are you wondering? What are you considering? What are you thinking? What are you still unclear about? I want to take just a few minutes, and then I have an exercise I'm going to take you guys through, because I think I know some of the questions I'm about to hear. But what would some of those be for you guys? And don't all of a sudden clam up and act shy, because you know you're not. Yes, Renee.
I would have to say that what to do with that.
Excellent. Yes, it makes sense. Anybody else identify with what she's feeling? Raise your hand for me. Raise your hand high. Anyone else? Kind of feeling like, okay, I'm getting a little bit more clarity about what I might be gifted and called to do, but not really, but kind of blurry about what's next. Okay, very good. Can we hold on to that one? First of all, let me just say this before I move on from it. One opportunity for those of you guys who are feeling that need to preach, teach, lead a group, anything that you would be pouring into sheep. Maybe some of you guys feel called to even just start out as being like a table host in one of the grow tracks and then build your way up to like start there. I'd say if you feel called to preach and teach, a really great practice field for that is learning to just speak into other people's lives first and foremost. When I say ground level, I don't mean to demean a table host. That's a super important job, by the way. It's a secret ingredient to the success of Grow Tracks and Encounter and Starting Point, to be quite honest. But that's a great like entry level, to begin at least practicing talking to a group of people. But something that we're going to do this spring, we did it last spring, and it we're going to do it this spring. And it's a teacher training for those who are feeling tugged on by the Lord or stirred in some way, or at least curious about teaching God's word in any platform. That doesn't mean you have to preach on Sunday morning, but my goal, and when we started it, and I told the very first group, I said, my goal is to train you guys in such a way that you begin to be options one day for Sunday morning preaching. Like, that would be my heart and my goal. And guess what? some of them are on their way. One of them sitting in here. Justin's grown leaps and bounds, not just because of the teacher training, but he took what he learned in there and meeting with me one-on-one and has applied it, and his teaching's going to the next level. Jeremy Sharvo is another example. Sonia Bonner. So many people that were in that first group are the teachers in the teaching teams now of Encounter and Grow Track and Starting Point. So I would just challenge you guys to at least try that. It's during a lunch hour once a month. Pretty simple. Nothing too hard. But I will tell you, the hour is pretty high octane. It's like from the moment we get in there, Jolene, you too. Moment we got in there to the moment we were done, you know, I'm like injecting you with highly concentrated stuff to preach and teach the right way. Okay? So that's just one next step. But anyone else, so let's push pause on the rest of what you were saying. I wanted to address that tonight. Anyone else feeling anything different or having any other questions apart from that? Because I'm getting ready to do an exercise based on what you just said. Because I kind of figured at least half of you were feeling that. Anybody else something different or that tags on to that? Well, it's a big deal in the Bible. But we don't, it's not, I wouldn't say that the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues is a bullseye center point discussion topic in all of our groups or our Sunday mornings, or we believe it, we practice it, we don't shy away from it. Pastor Jeremy will be the first one to defend it. All right, he believes it. We teach it, we preach it. It's why it's Encounter. It's powerful stuff. Now I will say, you know, you guys went through Starting Point, Grow 1, Grow 2, Grow 3. Some of you guys might, if you're struggling with that understanding, you need to get those teachings first of all and re-listen to those teachings. But second of all, that's great. I know you did. I knew you did because you told me. Anyone else, though, do what she's doing. The next thing is we just got done listening to a dynamic message on that by Pastor Roger Lewis at the Encounter Retreat. And while I don't want to give away the secrets, or not the secrets, but like the specific parts of Encounter, because you really need to go through that whole process, I first of all would say everybody goes through Encounter. I'm just telling you hands down, we just got off the retreat, and words cannot describe to you what God did. It's just so incredible what God is doing. Sure.
I was on the word I'm looking for, rehab, whatever.
Right. It's not a self-help for addicts, yeah. Yeah. Let me just tell you, Pastor Tally was like, God was just really doing a deep work in my heart this past one, more than any of the others before. And I was like, dear Lord God, have mercy. Like, am I ever going to be in that? But it was a good work, right? So, like, you know, it's not going and the whole thing. But it's like the Lord's, like, finishing stuff in me. You know, that just doing a deep work. And God, don't ever let me get to the place where I think I'm beyond that. You know, and honestly, some of us that feel stagnant and you're like stale, you need to go through Encounter like I needed to. James.
Well, I wanted to share what I shared with you a while ago. I had already to go against that.
So Encounter, I'd say definitely a possibility. But what I want to do is I want to hear any other questions real quick. I do have that teaching, though, Dawn. And so it's a really good teaching, really thorough. But here's the deal. Like, I've noticed that there are times in my life I've heard the same teaching over and over and over again, but then it takes that one moment where the Holy Spirit illuminates it for me, right? Like, have you ever had that? I've read that like 500 times, and now I get it. It's not a competency issue. It's the Lord revealing truth to you at the right moment and the right time issue. And so don't let that get you stuck. Because the enemy would want any of us, love to get you stuck there. Oh, well, I can't teach because I don't understand one thing of like 5,000 that you do understand. And so don't let that be any kind of a lid for you or an obstacle for you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I mean, there's other things you answer from right when you're needing to know it.
Mm-hmm. I think that actually brings up a question for the next Grow Track, that there should maybe be like in the table or in the manual, like a question card that you can turn in so that when you're having questions like that throughout, we as the leadership can take those and make sure we do answer them. Because if one person's asking it, probably someone else is too. And we want to clarify. Brian.
I just wanted to touch on that. So I read a passage about that. It all started coming together.
Yeah.
I just wanted to share that.
You know, even as pastors, there are certain areas that we understand we're more experts in than others. Not all pastors are equally experts in every single doctrine and theology and study of God's word. If you were to have me teach eschatology 101, I would be a little shaken in my boots because, yeah, Jeremy, how about you lead that group? But I'm just saying, just because I don't 100% be able to exegetically and hermeneutically interpret Daniel and portions of the book of Joel and all the way through the book of Revelation doesn't mean I'm not qualified to do what God's called me to do. And so don't ever let that be a hang up, any of you. What I want to do real quick, and these are good, and I want you to continue to ask. I think this is going to help. I think this is going to spur on a couple more good discussions here tonight. What I wanted to do is go over what I'm going to call a mission timeline. Because really, what's super important is that you guys get done with GrowTrack knowing not just where am I going to serve. Really and truthfully, you guys are a little beyond, let me just go serve somewhere, okay? That's starting point. We try to get you aligned with your potential, right? But GrowTrack is definitely at the place where we're hoping that you are becoming more confidently clear in not just what gifts has God given me, but what's my mission? Like, what am I called to do? Why did God send me here? Why am I alive here and now? What does he want me to do with all I've been given? Are those more of the questions you're asking now versus just tell me what my shape is, right? Like, and those are all still important. Now listen, those are important puzzle pieces, but that's not all. There's more. And so I'm hoping tonight the exercise I'm about to take you through, and I'm going to have to talk about my own life here, so help me, Lord. I hope that it will give you an exercise to take home and do maybe either on your own, with a friend, with your spouse, and connect the dots a little better. I'm going to start out in a certain year. The year I'm going to start out is 1979. Anyone want to guess what happened to me in 1979? I was born. My birthday is next Wednesday. I'll be 39 years old, and this is when I was born. All right? Pretty significant year. Don't you love these moments? I know I was talking to Carrington Rome, Bonnie's like second to last child or whatever, and he's got a beard and all this. I'm like, I changed your diapers, and now you have a beard. So this is weird. Yes, I feel old. So I'm born in 1979, okay? Now I don't remember that moment, but my mother does. And I shot out so fast that I almost hit the floor, and she laughs about the way I entered the world very much matches my personality. but anyway, 1979. I would say the next significant thing I can remember would have been around 1983. Oh, the good old days. 1983, and don't laugh at me, but I can remember teaching my dog. He was my student. He was actually her name was Bambi, and she was in my class, and Bambi was amongst about five or six stuffed animals that I had sitting in my room, had the door shut, had my chalkboard up, and I was teaching all who would listen about whatever, okay? I was teaching and loving every bit of it. That's 1983. Let's go to another year, and let's say I think this was around, let me think here. This had to have been like around 1989. Okay. 1989 is when we moved to Lufkin around that time. And I can remember lots of different things. But I was never really the girl that wanted to dress up dolls. I just wasn't that girl. I didn't necessarily, nothing wrong with that. Most girls love all that. But I remember playing Office. My greatest gift from my father was a briefcase that he, shut up, that he used. And I loved playing like I was like leading a team. Loved it. Seriously, I'm going somewhere with this. So I'm going to put briefcase and we'll all know what I'm talking about here. It's all making sense. Hold on. Okay, so we're going somewhere. We are going somewhere. So 1989, this whole thing's happening. And I'm going to put up on here, good grief, lots of stuff happened, but for the sake of time, I'm going to speed up a few, like at least a decade, almost a decade. I'm going to put 1994. Now, yikes, this may sound a little taboo, and I don't mean this like in any way that's inappropriate towards my husband, but I met a guy named Mark. And the reason this is important is because I wasn't serving the Lord, and Mark was. And he invited me to go to Christians in Action. So how about we just erase him, and let's put CIA, Christians in Action. Does that seem a little better? But in all seriousness, this was something I remember that really stands out to me, because he made me go to this Christians in Action group. I was super embarrassed, didn't want to go, and was sitting there, and they showed a picture, a video. Do you guys remember that Bryan Adams song, Everything I Do It For You? Okay. Oh, I loved that song. I had his greatest hit CD. I was all about that. But they played the song with a video of Jesus of Nazareth, the death and resurrection of Jesus. So everything he does, he did it for us. He died for you, all that kind of stuff. And I'm sitting there, and I start tearing up. And I don't know why. I don't know why this is happening. Didn't really understand it. But looking back, I can see a little bit of something happening. Let's go ahead and go forward to 1995. 1995 was a very important year for me, because this is the year I got saved at Camp Padre. So this was my salvation experience right here. I'm going to put June. This is important because around October, remember, of 1995, I told you guys I had those leaders that were whispering about something I was called to and wouldn't tell me. You remember that story? Okay, so that was in the fall. That was around October 1995. And this is when I felt called to ministry. I didn't know what it was. Nothing like that at all. Called to ministry. You guys follow me so far? Okay, another significant moment I remember really, really well, because let me make sure I pick the right one, was in 1998, I'm going to put Pastor Hudnall. Pastor Hudnall came up to me and told me if no one had confirmed I was called to ministry, he wanted to be the one to confirm it. I was called to full-time ministry. Very significant moment for me. I highly respected that man, still do to this day. So that was a big deal for me. Now let's fast forward to 1999. This is when I met Big Al, Alvin. Alvin came into my life. Alvin, this is very important, because it wasn't just because it was the man I was going to marry. It's because Alvin is the one who got me preaching. Alvin and I started preaching before I did and wanted me to tag team with him. And that was the first time I ever preached. Soul seekers had started at the church. Evangelism erupted at the church when Pastor Alvin came. And it was just incredible time of our church. It was amazing. And I began teaching and preaching with him and trying to get people saved. Now hang with me. I told you I'm going somewhere. I've got another significant moment. I had the year 2000. Is when we got married. Now I'm going to add in here, right here, I'm going to do 1997. That is when Dad left. And I'm going to add 2000. Dad died. All right. So married here. The next thing I want to put right here was, let's see, had Victoria in 2006. Whoops, I'm reversing these. Have Victoria here, 2006. I became a pastor. Hold on. What year is it? What year are we in? 2008. I became a pastor. Just kind of like morphed into it. No, you weren't. I don't think you were. Now let me put one other one right here. Pastor Alvin told me he felt like I needed to finish my degree and get my ministry credentials, which was super important for me later. So this was around 2004, finished school. All right, and got my degree in Bible school. All right, became a pastor in 2008. Now here's what's really interesting. Right here. I was lost. I had no idea what I was called to. I started working at the church in 1998. I think it's the year. Working at the church for the first time. Yep. As a receptionist. But I want you to listen. This is really important. 2006-7, I am going through a true identity crisis. And I remember just feeling so lost and frustrated because I still didn't understand what I was called to do. I didn't understand. Look at this. When did I get saved? 1995. Look at this. 11 years later, I still faithfully serving in the church, being discipled, mentored, went to Bible college. I did everything I knew to do, and I tried hard to be faithful in what I was doing, but I didn't have it figured out. It wasn't until one moment I went up to my husband, and he saw I was stuck. And I said, Alvin, I'm so lost. I still remember this moment. I'll never forget it. And I'm crying. At this point, I'm so mad. I'm frustrated. Because he's like evangelist, right? And I'm like lost. There's nothing worse than when you're lost being around someone who knows exactly what they're called to do. And and being fruitful in it. Especially back then, that was like his niche, his thing. And it was like it matched the church vision. It was just an incredible time for him as a pastor. And I'm sitting there on the sidelines going, doop, 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 doop. And I was known as Alvin's wife. Like nobody even knew. I was lost. I didn't have any purpose. I wasn't doing anything in the church much other than working on staff. And he looked at me one day and he said, Talia, I don't understand why you're so frustrated. And I said, I don't understand what I'm called to do, Alvin. Like what am I called to do? And he said, Talia, don't you understand? Don't you see it? How do you not see it? And I said, see what? He said, you are, in my husband's words, the best discipler I've ever known. You're a discipler. You make disciples unlike anyone I've ever seen. And I just started crying harder because I knew. Like for some reason, I couldn't figure it out until that moment, Alvin brought clarity, and that term, discipler, was used really for the very first time as a niche I had. Like my niche, right? My thing. Fast forward, we did Starting Point for about, good grief, then around 2000 and I think it was 2012, I became a departmental pastor. So I was over Q2 and 3. That's kind of confusing. Departmental pastor. I moved up, in other words. I was no longer just overseeing a ministry. I was now overseeing a chunk of the staff and what they were doing. And then when Pastor Jeremy became elected in, what year? He's been here 4 years. As our senior pastor. Was it 2014? 2014. He asked me to be the one thing I told him I never wanted to be. True story. I still remember serving him as an assistant. I said, I can tell you one thing I never want to do. I never want to be an executive pastor of this church. Ever. Don't ever ask me. You can ask him. I remember where I was sitting in his office. Don't ever ask me. Guess what I am? I'm doing that very thing I said I would never do. So here's my point. I want you guys to see a trend line here. I want us to look at being born, teaching my dog, briefcase, Christians in action, salvation. Oop, right here, 1996, started a Bible study, didn't know the word of God at all. They were asking me questions. I had no idea what the answers were, but I started a Bible study, okay? 1996, whoops, got out of that order. Anyway, let's look all the way here. Let's look at some common things here. Do you see any themes? Do you see any things that are kind of consistent or make sense looking back on it? Teaching, okay? Whether it be dogs or people, right? No, this is good. Teaching, anyone? Teaching? Okay. So you see teaching. What else? You said someone said administration. Yep. Okay. Leading. Oh, yeah. That's significant. Yes, that's very significant. Nope. Adults, yeah, a classroom setting. Now, here's my point. hang with me. This is not supposed to all be all about me, but I wanted to use myself because I didn't know if anyone else would be so transparent. Okay, and in front of everybody. I also want to bring up something else. These two things right here, and a time of depression I went through that took about 4 years after this to get over. Okay. And then another significant thing would have been in 2010, I struggled with panic attacks horribly. Okay? Horribly. So the reason I'm bringing that up is because the highlights show some of my giftedness. The low times show my pain. And what I've seen now God is doing is he's combining the gifts of the Spirit with my experiences and pain and struggles, and they've meshed together to form this crazy thing called the movement. See, the movement was created from our pastor's vision and lots of long meetings of discussing the fact that our people needed to go deeper. But the content and the order, the flow of it comes out of my struggle. The flow of it came out of the times I was discipling people and they weren't moving and what I had to try to figure out to get them moving, right? The encounter, you know what encounter is? It's the life lessons God taught me when I was depressed and I needed freedom and I didn't know where to go, but he taught me, okay? So here's my challenge to you guys, is I want you to work on your own timeline. I want you to create your own life timeline, because here's the thing. Honestly, as I wanted to do this live. I didn't want it planned. I wanted to do it live. Because I want you to see, even I had to stop some moments and go, wait, oh, but wait, right? Oh, I forgot about that. Oh, remember, character map. That's what's going to happen. That's good. I want you guys to work on this. How much? Are we out of time? We're probably almost. Oh, we're not out of time. We are not out of time. Whoa. So here's what I want you guys to do. I want you guys, I want you guys to take about 10 minutes, and I want you to work on your timeline right now. And I'm here, Pastor Stephen's here, to answer questions. Why am I having you do this? So you can see your highs and lows. And if you need help coming up with identification of a trend, I want to be able to help you with that right now. Key moments. So here's what I did. Here were the thoughts I'm thinking as I'm working on my timeline. What key moments do I remember in my life? They don't have to point to what you're doing right now. Don't do that. These were genuinely key moments I remember in my life, good, bad, and ugly, okay? You need to do that on yours. In fact, I would encourage you to not do an uptrend, just even if you want to do it horizontally, perfectly across, because that doesn't really mean anything. What we want to do is identify if there's a common thread here. Is there a common theme? If you won awards when you were in elementary school for your creative, artistic work, and then all through college you were doing this, is there a trend? Is there something consistent in your life that you're not seeing that when you put it in black and white or brown and white, it would be obvious to everyone else in the room? Because here's what the enemy does. He tries to make this more complicated than it is. Like, we have to hear this mystical burning bush moment from God to know to discover our mission. You need to understand, Moses was prepared. If you want to see Moses' timeline, that burning bush moment was not so random for him. It matched the trajectory of his life, okay? And if you did that for Moses, you would see, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. When he was floating in the basket as a baby. As he was floating in the basket as a baby, God was preparing him for his future, making sure he got into Pharaoh's household, right? I mean, God was totally in it all. Man, when he killed the Egyptian, what was really going on? He was understanding a righteous, what he was passionate about. And what he was passionate about was ultimately what he was called to fix. Do you see? If you did this for him, you would very easily go, of course he was called to be the deliverer for God, to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. I want you to do that for yourself. Start with the day you're born. If we can get some music to play, Tommy, and just kind of break the silence a little bit. But I'm here. If you need me, I mean, I hate to say raise your hand, but I won't know to come to you unless you do so. I want you guys to prayerfully work through this, and let's see what we come up with. On your mark, get set, go. Things that I things like that, Gina, make sure those are on your timeline too. Occupation, education, things like that. Not just things that happened in my life. You notice I have education up here too. Things that I was going to school for, things that I was studying. You notice that I didn't like live a horrible, horrible, tragic life. I got saved pretty early in my life, right? I was a teenager, okay? So my timeline doesn't have as many years of struggle and pain because you got saved later or turned around later. You said 2013 or 15?
Turned
things around. So really, if you were to say 2013 to 2018, you have 5 years right now of where of identifying not just the activity of God in my past. Where has the activity of God been since I said yes to Jesus Christ? Where's the activity of God? What things have really struck a chord with me? What leaders have said something to me that was significant that really kind of got my attention? Why am I taking the time to do this with you guys? Because this is important. We don't want you just to become super, super knowledgeable of all of the things that God has taught. We don't even want you to just become free through encounter and the lids removed of your obstacles. We don't even want you to just serve. We want you to serve. We all need to serve. What we really want is your God-given potential. We want you to discover it. We want you to kill it. We want you to conquer it, right, and go after it. And so what I need you guys to do is to really prayerfully do this exercise and work on it outside of this class this week. Because what I believe God's going to do is really help you to see, zoom out, maybe get your husband to look at it and say, what theme do you see? What common thread is consistent? What is consistent in my pain? What is consistent in my victories? What is consistent with major things that I've gone through in my life? The Bible says, God's word says, that he wants to use the comfort you've received to comfort others. Okay? You have a story that you need to be a good steward of. Can I say something to you really honest, really blunt? Because you're like, you guys know me enough, you can handle it, right? I've noticed that when I take what God has given me and I use it, even in my imperfections, he multiplies it. When I hold on to it and I make the excuses up and I just don't really do much with it because I'm afraid or I don't want to fail, nobody knows those excuses better than me. I begin to stagnate. There's something about using in faith what you do know. And when you use it, God multiplies it. He multiplies so much. I think of Gideon. You guys know the story in the book of Judges of Gideon? And you guys know he was hiding from the enemy by threshing wheat in a wine press, right? In like a basement. Okay? He had tons of potential. The angel of the Lord shows up and calls him mighty warrior. And Gideon is feeling anything but like a mighty warrior. He is petrified. He's terrified of the enemy so much that he's doing something ridiculous to get some money. Doesn't even make sense what he's doing. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Like, God was able to look beyond his fears, and Gideon could only see himself. And the problem some of us might have in here tonight is we're still just seeing ourselves, what we're capable of. And what we need to do as Grow Track 3, like cream of the crop potential leadership right now, is to be willing to look beyond what you've been told, beyond what you've already seen in the mirror, and begin listening up to what God says about you and your potential. And this timeline for me is so powerful because it takes away my excuses. And it really helps make some sense out of a lot of mess and chaos. And I really hope and pray that you guys understand that God wants you guys to do something with what you've been given. To whom much is given, much is required. What are you going to do to be a good steward of what God has revealed to you about him, what he's revealed to you about others, and what he's revealed to you about yourself? You know, I know, for instance, if you were to think, Jeremy, real quick, you were going to say something, then I'm going to, you okay? Here are some things that are, if I were to sit down with you guys one-on-one, which that would be impossible because there's too many of you, but if I were to sit down with you guys one-on-one and we were to go over this timeline together, I would ask some questions, but I would give you guys some obvious, good, wise next steps that you need to prayerfully consider. So can I pretend that like we're in a one-on-one session and I'm going to talk to you as if I were sitting with you one-on-one in my office, and I'm going to give you guys a small variety of next steps for you, okay? Because what happens next? Well, I want to say this. I am going to go ahead and say it. I did have a very interesting meeting this week with our consultant that's helped me with the process of the movement. He just helped me build it. You know, Doc Lee is his name, Doc Lee, Dr. Wayne Lee. And Pastor Stephen and I were meeting with him, and I was describing you guys to him. And I was describing where you guys were, and I told him, Jim, you may not have known I heard you, but about a month ago, you said, man, where's Grow Track 4? And what I told Doc Lee you really meant, it wasn't what's in another class I can just sit in. What you were saying is, I want to lead and serve, but I don't want to stop growing in my walk with Christ. I want to go deeper, right? And so I heard that. I never said anything to you, but I've never forgotten it. And I began to describe to him where you guys are and where we are in this whole process. And he said, you know, what really, first of all, he said, what you guys are doing is phenomenal. He was so proud of you guys. He was proud. When I told him you guys did the Live Dead Challenge, he started laughing in disbelief. He's like, are you kidding me? He's like, I can't get college graduates from seminary to go through things like that. I was super proud of you guys. But he did say, what's neat, what sounds like could be designed is a Grow Track 4. But the Grow Track 4 would be only for those who have taken what they've learned and are not just serving, but are beginning to lead. Leading with what they were given, good stewards of what they were invested with, right? Doing something with the bags of gold. He said, because really what they need is more of a facilitator to help talk through with them, what do I do with all of these tools, all of these pieces that I love and have been given over this past year and a half, and maybe longer, what do I do? What does this build? What does this make? I think if I put four of these together like this and prop this up, it may make this. But having a Grow Track 4 that would be designed to help ensure that what you're building does perfectly mirror what he had in mind for you. And the prerequisite, though, would be that you're beginning to already lead at a certain level within the church. Alyssa.
When I was in high school, but then we were also becoming a teacher.
That's great. I love
that.
Yeah, in fact, you know, Pastor Matt came in my office today. He's on vacation. He wasn't supposed to be in. Oh, I'm getting the watch. It's time to go. And he said, you know, Talia, he was talking about next steps. We were talking about you guys. I talk about you guys apparently a lot. And he said, you know, I can't think of a better next step for people who have finished Grow than to come and help us create Grow for our kids. And I was thinking, or for our youth. See, that's what we're doing in 2019 is we're going to build the movement within our youth and our children's ministries here at Timber Creek Church. And I can't think of anyone more qualified to help model that, lead that, teach that to teenagers or children than you guys. So another next step would be help Pastor Stephen and I build it next year. Hey, you want to grow? How about you teach teenagers and children how to grow in their walk with Christ? There's nothing more rewarding than taking what you've been given and investing it in someone else who doesn't have it yet. Do you understand? I would also say another great next step, give me 60 seconds. Will you let me know when 1 minute's done? Ooh. Another great next step would be, oh gosh, David, put your watch down. Okay, he's timing me. Ready to go. Another next step would be is to serve within children's ministry, obviously, and youth ministry. I'd say right now those two areas are super big on my heart. The adults are getting really healthy and we're doing really well. We've got lots of dream teamers over there. Things are going great. Don't hear me wrong. But if I could inject any leadership over into those areas, it would be people like you guys who have gone through this process.
It is rewarding.
It's eye-opening. It's eye-opening. Another thing is let's just say you feel called to adults. You can actually serve on one of the Grow Track teams. Help us lead the next year's worth of adults through this process as well. Those go through Encounter. Go through Encounter. Join the Starting Point table host team. So I just want you guys to see this. I'm going to finish with this. I'm going to pray for you. The worst thing I could ever hear or ever see is to look back at this group 6 months from now and you're not doing anything different. You're not investing your bags of gold. You've hidden them in the ground because you're afraid of losing them. Or the master being angry because you spent them wrong or invested them wrong. Please don't be that steward. Be a good steward of the bags of gold you've been given. I just want to pray over you guys. Here's what I'll say. Pastor Stephen and I are available. Pastor Stephen and I through email. If you're super duper confused, Pastor Stephen, we can figure out a way to answer questions. Our heart is not to leave you hanging tonight. Our heart is to challenge you to soul search with prayer, through prayer and this timeline and taking the information I'm giving you and you guys hearing from God. What is the revelation of the Lord showing you? What is he showing you that you need to do with what you've been given? And then it's our job to help clarify that, confirm it, and help get you going in the right direction. I say Bonnie Rome as well. Bonnie Rome's phenomenal at this. Can we stand together? I just want to pray a blessing over you. Pastor Stephen, if you could come up here with me, we just want to pray over you guys. Bless you guys. There's still some cookie cake and some milk, but you got to make sure you get your kiddos before you feast too much on cookie cake. But I'm just going to say a quick prayer and let Pastor Stephen close on it. I just want to say, I hate that I'm out of time. I love you guys. I see so much stinking potential in this room. It's just sick. Don't sit on it. Be a good steward of it and watch God multiply it. Let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray right now, Father, over this first class that is finishing Grow Track. Lord, the process you created, not me, you created. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name that you would bless, anoint, and speak to every man and woman in this room. God, I pray you would give them ears that can hear your voice. God, as they work through this process this week in their prayer time and they're looking at what they've been through, what they've already been good at doing, and Lord, maybe even seeing where their pain is. Holy Spirit, you said you would lead and guide us into all truth. And I pray, God, you would help them connect the dots correctly. God, I just pray that as they connect those dots, that they would look back at that page and put it down on the table and look at, oh my goodness, look at what it make. Like, let the picture that the dots create be crystal clear to them. Lord, may there be no room for confusion or doubt. May this group of Grow Track 3 truly reach and identify and accomplish their God-given potential. In Jesus' name, Pastor Stephen, close us out.
God, we love you. Thank you so much for this group. God, one of the things that I'm thinking about, God, as they move forward, as they leave from this final night together, God, that they would remain a sponge. God, I look around this room, and many of them already are, but what I mean by that is just continually soak up all that the Lord has for you spiritually. Read, go after, chase after the Lord, chase after the things that are going to sharpen you, and as you look through that timeline, God, as they look through that timeline, God, would you guide them by your Holy Spirit, God, that they might identify those things that bend in their life, God, towards what you're calling them to do and to be for the future, Lord God, and that they would just be a sponge and get as much information and ask questions and just go after you, God, and chase the calling that you have on their life. And God, that they would just remain teachable, God, that you would give them a teachable heart as they move forward. And God, that they would not be fearful. God, I pray against the enemy, God, that is lying, that would lie to them and say, no, you really can't do that, or man, that's a big step. God, I pray that all fear would be taken away, and God, that they would just be so excited and so passionate, God, about what you're asking them to do and calling them to do next, Lord God. God, thank you for this room. Thank you for these students, God, and thank you for what you've invested over the last year, Lord God, into their hearts and into their lives. And God, I pray that we just continue to see amazing fruit from that as they continue to grow. Go with them, bless them, God, give them favor in everything that they do. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Love you guys.